by the help of God, I would direct you to the fourth chapter of John, verses 41 and 42. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. The fourth chapter of John, verses 41 and 42. This beautiful narrative tells us the way that the Lord saves poor sinners. And if ever we are saved, we must be saved in the same way. It is pitiable to see a lot of blind guides groping for the wall like the blind, but here, in this chapter, we have the whole of the method of grace in the salvation of a poor sinner. And if a work of grace is begun in your heart, you'll be able to trace in your own measure and in the way that the Lord has led you, the pathway that runs through this chapter, and it will give you some indication that you are in the footsteps of the flock. And the first thing to notice really is a divine foreknowledge and sovereignty. The Lord knew this woman. He knows everybody. But the Lord knoweth them that are his in a particular kind of knowledge. It is a knowledge which proceeds from eternal, everlasting, electing love. And it is a knowledge of particular recognition. He recognizes his people. And it is a knowledge, too, of divine and covenant appointment. And there was that with respect to this case of this woman. The Lord knew she'd be at that well. That the Lord knows is a great comfort. Oh, that we might have that heavenly faith which believes that God is, believes what he is. He knew she would be at that well at that particular time. We had the same sovereignty, the same salvation in the case of Zacchaeus. When Zacchaeus left home, he got no grace in his heart. He'd heard about this great man, Jesus, and he wanted to see him. And being little of stature, it says that he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he, Jesus, was to pass that way. Now you take that expression, for Jesus was to pass that way, for he must needs go through Samaria, the same thing. But the thing is, my friends, what a mercy it would be if he must needs today go through Galilee Chapel. That's the point. For it to be brought home personally to us, to see the majesty of God. In the hymn that we were singing, all divine perfections meet in him. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily is in him. And therefore, although he took human nature, a sinless humanity, yet he did not cease to be God. So that those divine perfections gave divine authority to everything that he said and everything that he did. And this is in this first part. And it would be in the first part of work of grace in your heart. And he comes to these individuals. Zacchaeus. He knew the tree. If you read down, you'll find, and when he got to that tree, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He was called by grace in that sycamore tree. Oh, the secret beginning of the Lord with individual hearts. I wonder if he's got a purpose of grace of any poor sinner here. And he must needs come through Galilee. My friends, we must have, and I feel it increasingly, a personal application of salvation to our own souls. It's far removed from general religion, social religion of any kind. It's a life and death matter for eternity. And then he shows to this woman that he's no respecter of persons. And she wondered, because the Samaritans have the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And she was nonplussed that this Jew should converse with her, but in no respect of persons, where there is neither Jew nor Greek, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, Christ is all and in all. And then the Lord began to unfold. That's the beauty of this chapter. He began to unfold and reveal himself to this woman. He was calling her by grace. There is something very tender and pathetic in this response of the Lord Jesus. If thou knewest the gift of God, woman, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me the drink. Oh, woman, if you knew who was talking to you, that I am the infinite God, the creator of all things. If you knew who I was, you'd ask. Thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. This was a secret to the woman. She couldn't understand it. But we haven't time to go through all the particulars, but it is a chapter that we need to read carefully with the Holy Spirit and then look into our own experience and profession and see whether any of this divine sovereignty, free and sovereign grace and mercy and eternal life has ever been communicated to our souls. I was thinking yesterday, and it caused me much to tremble. What a solemn thing it is to make a profession of religion that never had a change of heart. And what a solemn thing it is to preach the gospel and never had a change of heart. Oh, the Lord will make his word like a two-edged sword in every conscience. But it is the only way, my friends, to bring us into the secret place of the Most High. And if we are brought there, we shall abide under the shadow, the protection of the Almighty. So he began to unfold the mystery of the gospel to her. And began to open her understanding. So she spoke naturally, and the simplicity of reality is very noticeable. The more real we are, the more simple. So she said, the natural thing from a natural woman. Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well's deep. She knew nothing about living water and never felt a need of life. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Now he's beginning to show her the difference between things that are natural and things that are spiritual. And has he shown us that? Oh, this conversation that the Lord had with this woman is full of instruction and encouragement. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, this must have been an amazing revelation to her. Another secret. The whole of the teaching of the Holy Spirit is a secret. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Her eyes are partially opened, like the blind man. And the Lord touched his eyes and asked if he saw aught. He said, I see men as trees walking. He touched them again, and he saw all men plainly. You may trace that in your past experience. When things were very hazy, when it was just like the day dawn, the sun had not risen, or like good Bunyan speaks of it, he said, evangelist said unto a Christian, dost thou see a yonder wicket gate? He said, no. Some of you may be there in your experience. Well, he said, dost thou see yonder shining light? He said, I think I do. Follow that light and it'll bring you to the wicket gate, it'll bring you to Christ. And so the Lord here was gradually opening the understanding of this poor, sinful woman. Ah, he receives sinners, he does. Maybe you made a sinner before he does receive you. And the woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And then Jesus takes another line with her. Here comes conviction. Can you trace these things, my dear friends? You're safe. This is an inspired description of how God saves a sinner. You see the peculiar answer that the Lord gave. Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband. We take another line now. Begins to dig into her conscience. Conviction of sin. I do feel to need the Holy Spirit to bring the truth of the gospel out of the Bible into my heart. Otherwise, you'll be like that hearer who, when he looked into the perfect law of liberty, he went away and forgot what kind of a man he was. And how many times do you come to a service and go out and forget before you get to Queen's Road what manner of servant it was? All these are vital things, my friends. We're getting very near the swellings of Jordan. So there was conviction, and the Lord loved this woman. Her name was in the covenant of grace. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. You see, it made honest before the Lord. There's no doubt that the Lord was exercising in her heart his grace, and gradually unfolding to her the gospel of salvation. And this began to reveal to her who he was. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Began to penetrate who he was. But we mustn't take up time. But it's full of gracious instruction. But the final revelation to her of himself was in the 25th and 26th verses. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Now, my friends, this is the point. And you will never be satisfied until you eat for substance. Hear this. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Oh, what a meeting it would be. If there are any seekers here who may have come for a long, long time, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Him, only one him. I don't mind what else I don't find. Object of my first desire, Jesus crucified for me, all to happiness aspire, only to be found in thee. Well, then we come down to the text. But she went and told the men. The woman then left her water pot. And that word water pot really was representative of everything of a natural kind. It was natural water. Natural things is all she could understand. When the Lord began to speak to her about living water, she didn't understand it. But now she sees it. And then she had a thirst for it. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him, so that she was made, the means, was an instrument of bringing these men to the Lord Jesus. And that's a great thing, my friends. To be an influence for good, an influence that brings people to the Lord Jesus. I think the first chapter shows us this. How that when one had found the Lord Jesus, how they went and found a companion. You will remember it if we read, I think. One of the two disciples which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now this is it. He first findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. He brought him to Jesus. You see? This is a point in a gracious experience, how that when one has found the Lord Jesus, how it gives them a concern for others. He brought him to Jesus, And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. There's another case. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Philip findeth Nathanael. Do you see the influence of it? Now, this is the communion of saints. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And you remember the case of Nathanael. Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Now you'll notice that in this part of the text. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And he had a purpose for abiding there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Now this is very vital. Now there is a believing on him because of the word of other people. But that's not sufficient. It was a good thing. And when this woman of Samaria told these men to come and see a man which told her all things that ever she did, it brought them to Jesus. And doubtless, these Samaritans that believed on him, they believed on him with a God-given faith. But the text comes closer, and many more believed because of his own word. Now, nothing different from this will be saving, to believe on him because of his own word. We must have something from the Lord himself. There is a good deal of second-hand religion. We may acquire it from godly authors. Now, I wouldn't discourage our young people from reading those. We should be thankful for the library. But if our knowledge of the truth remains an acquired knowledge from reading, we have yet to know the meaning of the text. And many more believed because of his own word. Peter said, when some were weary of doctrine, weary of those vital matters that will be needed on a dying bed, they said, this is a hard saying. And they went back and walked no more with him. The Lord said to his disciples, will ye also go away? Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go, if we do go away? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and nobody else has. Do you believe that? A minister in himself has not the words of eternal life, but if the Holy Spirit is with him, he can convey the word and make it life and spirit in the heart of a poor sinner. And Peter said, to whom shall we go? He got no substitute for Christ. Have you? But if we are brought and need salvation as sinking in deep mire where there's no standing, we shall need a word from the Lord himself. I do feel that appeal to his disciples not to go away is very tender and pathetic. He knew they wouldn't. But there seemed occasions when he took pleasure to elicit from them their love to him. Lord, to whom can we go? There is nobody else. You may look at yourself and your condition and your profession and be tender, and you don't want to say a thing that will not stand the truth when you come to shut your eyes in death. But there are some things you can say. Have you ever laid upon your bed of a night and thought this? Now, Lord, are there things that I can say from my heart? Well, I believe that's one thing I can say. To whom can I go? Who is there? Whom are I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. There's no other Saviour. There's no other shield. There's no other way of escape. There's no other true happiness. And many more believed because of his own word. And therefore, my friends, may we never rest upon the word of a minister, nor on the word of the best of saints. Perhaps ought to qualify that. Are we not to listen to a minister? Are we not to enjoy the communion of saints? Indeed we are. But you may depend upon it that if you depend and feel to find a strength and consolation and encouragement in a word from a minister, it's come from a higher source than him. It's the word of the Lord that speaks. And you'll know the difference. And said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying. Her saying was useful. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. He brought those men to the Lord Jesus, and he abode with them, and evidently there were those that were called by grace. But it wasn't the word of the woman. And said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves. Now take that little clause. I'm not read at it as a part of a chapter. But may it keep looking at us. We shall never profit in reading the word of God until it reads us. For we have heard him ourselves, have you? Oh, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. We have heard him ourselves. Well, blessed is the people that know at the joyful sound. And if you have heard him by the ear of faith, then the things that you have heard are brought into your soul experience. That's the point. It'll never be brought into your heart by hearing it from other people or from reading it from books, unless from those readings the Holy Ghost is pleased to speak the truth into your heart. When he speaks, then he speaks what he says into your heart, speaks the very things of Christ, speaks into your heart and makes a substance and power, the Holy Gospel. Speaks into your heart and makes it effectual, both in cleansing and healing and pardon, his precious sin atoning blood. We have heard him ourselves. I do think it is well to be brought to a pause from time to time. It's surprising how we can become very indifferent and lukewarm and satisfied with orthodoxy. Oh, do you sometimes feel and seek the Lord vehemently that your soul may live? Let my soul live. So that all this proceeds from the work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration. You see how the Lord saved this dear sinful woman. Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know. This hearing brought knowledge. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, how important it is then that we should hear the voice of the Lord. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He said that to the Pharisees. A very solemn that was. I thought of it. He was speaking to the Pharisees at that time. And he said to them, ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. We have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. All knowledge is in there. Perhaps you've taken notice that when the Lord had inquired concerning those that he has called by grace, he always says, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He didn't say, do you believe you're certain you're going to heaven? Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Everything is there. And that was just the knowledge that the apostle longed for, that I may know him. There's only one him. To know him. To know him both with respect to his divine person and his sacred humanity, to know him as Emmanuel, God with us. This is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world, not of the world indiscriminately. Oh, some people seem to make that a case for Arminianism. But if they like to read the 17th chapter of John, a wonderful sacred chapter that is, they would find that the world, I think, is mentioned 15 times in that one chapter as under the curse of God. And his people are mentioned, I believe, 22 times in that chapter, in the sacred and eternal and indissoluble union that subsists between them. And what a mercy it is to know. Amen. For we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Oh, my dear friends, may the Lord give to us this knowledge. a knowledge that brings into your heart the things that you know. That is the pith of the whole matter. You know the truth. Hell, you know it. You can know it and be destitute of it. But if you know it by divine teaching, then the Holy Spirit will bring the things you know into your heart so that you receive the gospel not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Oh, blessed knowledge that fills you with the gospel. A knowledge that brings Christ, whom you know, into your heart as the hope of glory. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Oh, may the Lord teach us. I need teaching. And I have longed to be so revived as that all things might be made new. Oh, we get so stale and so stagnant. And we need a furnace to purge us. If we are branches, we need that those branches be purged to bring forth more fruit. Oh, may the Lord keep our souls alive and still abide with us and in us and help us to abide in him.